I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, back with Garrett Graff, UFO, the inside story of the U.S. government search for alien life here and out there. We were talking about the case of police officer Lonnie Zamora, and that is the case that got the late Dr. J. Allen Hynek, who headed up Project Blue Book for the government, to believe that UFOs may be coming from extraterrestrial places. Garrett, it was an incredible story.
Yeah, and as I was starting to say before the break, you know, the challenge for me is that witnesses like Lonnie Zamora are uniquely credible, because what you had in his case was there were other witnesses who appeared very quickly, including a New Mexico State Trooper who was on the scene just minutes after his encounter. There was some physical evidence that something happened, and it seems very clear that sort of something happened and upset Lonnie Zamora, and that he is not someone who sort of had previous encounters or any subsequent encounters, and in fact, you know, he's not someone, he was widely respected in the community, well-liked in the community, went on to sort of have a normal life after his encounter. And there's sort of no reason for him to have invented the story of an encounter like the one that he had. That's one of the things that stood out to J. Allen Hynek. It stood out to me reading that history and testimonials and reports years later. You know, there are those category of witnesses that you see over and across the years who have encounters, who have no reason to make up the story, and in fact have quite a lot potentially to lose for reporting a UFO or UAP encounter. I would put, by the way, those Navy pilots today, the naval aviators today,
that's right,
in recent years come forward with the same type of category. And to me, those types of encounters, those types of stories really are what convince me that there is something here that is real, that is worth talking about, and would, you know, that our government should be more interested in figuring out what is actually going on.
When I first heard the Lonnie Zamora case, which occurred in 64, and I heard about it years later, but when I first heard about the case, Garrett, I thought maybe what he saw was a test landing of the lunar module, because this was 5 years before we landed on the moon. Maybe he saw astronauts testing this thing, taking off, flying down, and landing. And it sounded right, but then it hit me that, nah, he saw something else.
Yeah, and you know, in some ways, at the time, you could have said that that was the easy, simple explanation. He was close to the White Sands Proving Grounds in New Mexico. It was the heart of the Apollo program, the heart of the space race. But the challenge is, here we are 50, 60 years later, we have never seen a craft emerge from the U.S. government archives. We've never seen sort of declassified evidence of a craft that operates anything close to the way that what Lonnie Zamora explained that he saw.
Did your research in this book convince you otherwise that the U.S. government is holding back information?
Well, this is a complicated story, and you know, sort of a complicated set of facts to try to untangle, because we know that there is a U.S. government cover-up about UFOs. You know, there are sort of several obvious cloaks of secrecy that we know exist in this world. You know, as we discussed previously, some chunk of these sightings are the U.S. government's own secret plans, projects, experiments and operations.
No question.
You know, the CIA goes, you know, went back and tallied up that they think almost half of all sort of publicly reported UFOs in the 1950s were the U-2 spy plane as it was being secretly developed during that decade, which was very much a UFO. It was a plane that flew at an altitude that planes did not fly at, that did not look like any known plane, flying at speeds that planes were not known to fly. You know, if you were a commercial airline pilot in the 1950s, winging your way across the country, and you saw a U-2 spy plane above you, that was a true UFO. And we know that sort of some chunk of today, you're sort of stumbling across similar efforts. We also know that there's a cloak of secrecy around, as we discussed, that advanced adversarial technology that's being tested against us by foreign governments, China, Russia, Iran, you know, maybe other governments. And we know that because the Pentagon has said that it has detected some of this as adversarial technology. But the government just is squirrely about what its sensors pick up, what it detects, what it doesn't detect, and it doesn't really necessarily want to let on everything that it knows about some of these UAP sightings for the purposes of not sort of sharing with China and Russia what it sees and what it doesn't. So, you know, you have sort of those cloaks of secrecy that we know about. At the heart of the government cover-up, though, I think John Brennan, as I mentioned earlier in the show, when he said in December 2020 that there's stuff up there that he's puzzled by, that he doesn't know what it is, I think that that was an honest comment. That I think he, I think that U.S. government leadership is honestly confused and unsure of what a lot of these UFOs and UAPs actually are. And one of the things that sort of bothers me as a taxpayer and a citizen writing about this subject is the lack of curiosity and serious study about what these things actually are.
Unless it's going on clandestinely. It could be clandestine.
Yes. But I don't think that, you know, when you see these high-level figures making comments that are sort of as genuinely puzzled as what John Brennan was saying, I think that there is at least some chunk of this phenomenon that they are still quite puzzled by. And I think that they should care more about what the answers are.
Do you think it's still conceivable within government that the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing?
Absolutely. And we have all sorts of evidence across the 80 years that I really sort of spent, or the 80 years that I really try to study in this book, of the government not knowing what the government was doing. You have the very famous case from the dawn of what was sort of then still called the flying saucer age, when Captain Thomas Mantle, who was a Kentucky Air National Guard pilot, is dispatched in a P-51 to chase a UFO over the skies of Louisville, Kentucky. And he is, he and a couple of flight mates are dispatched, and they race after what they see as a giant object. This is January 7th, 1948 in the skies over central Kentucky. And Captain Thomas Mantle ends up flying, the official government report is that he ends up flying too high in the sky without oxygen, trying to chase whatever this object is, and that he ends up passing out and his plane crashes and he's killed.
Yeah.
And there's a real moment of panic inside the government that, you know, whatever these UFOs are, whatever these flying saucers are, did they shoot down Captain Thomas Mantle? Are they actively hostile against U.S. aircraft? And it's actually Project Blue Book years later, about 4 years later, 1952, finally pieces together what they think happened to Thomas Mantle. And Edward Ruppelt, a name I'm sure your listeners know, who's head of Project Blue Book at the time, figures out that there was a secret Navy research balloon that he was chasing after, and that sort of the Navy never mentioned to the Air Force that it had this capability, and that it had that he had died, chasing the U.S. government's own project.
It was an incredible case.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready to fight back against crime? Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies, personally investigating, prosecuting, and covering literally thousands of cases. It's so easy to think it will never happen to me or my family, but that is simply not true. Every day on Crime Stories with Nancy Grace, we shine a light on unsolved homicides, heat up cold cases, and help find missing people, especially children. We speak with family members, investigators, CSI, reporters, and experts in every field. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
My name is Johnny B. Goode, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, CentraTech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of Bitcoin, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What did you think of the late Harvard professor John Mack, who spent part of his career chasing down alien abduction cases?
Yeah, I spend a couple of chapters sort of wrestling in the book with the stories of alien abductions. And, you know, all of those names that I'm sure your listeners know, John Mack, Bud Hopkins, and others. And, you know, to me, it was one of the more fascinating corners of this subject because, you know, what John Mack and Bud Hopkins and others who look at this phenomenon come away convinced is that some real trauma has happened to these people who report these types of encounters, that they, you know, that they share all of the hallmarks of trauma victims, and that there is not a shared psychology behind them before they experience their encounters. You know, these were not necessarily people, you know, for instance, who all had a type of mental illness before they had, you know, reports of their encounters with aliens. Where I think I settle is, you know, that at a certain level, we have to believe them, that, you know, that they are coming forward and telling the truth as they understand it, that they have had some type of encounter that at least for now remains unexplainable to us. I don't necessarily end up concluding that I think that, you know, that necessarily means that they are being abducted by aliens, but that they are having an encounter of some kind.
Something's happening
with a force that we don't yet understand.
What is it about Harvard? Now we have Professor Avi Loeb doing his thing.
Yes, and you know, I actually was did an event with Avi Loeb last week at the Chicago Humanities Festival. And, you know, one of the things that sort of kept going through my mind was, you know, the sort of main figure arguing against the sort of early UFO and early UFO and early flying saucer age was Avi Loeb's predecessor, sort of the debunker in chief, Harvard astronomer Donald Menzel.
That's right.
And I was thinking about sort of how far we have come in astronomy in 50 years, that you go from Donald Menzel, who was the you know, the archetype skeptic, to Avi Loeb, who, you know, is about as close to a serious believer as you can find these days.
When you read the context of the Bible, Garrett, and it talks about fallen angels and things like that, if you add in and replace them with extraterrestrials, it still makes a lot of sense. You know that?
Yes, and I think one of the things that it is very clear is that there, you go sort of through almost any civilization in human history, and they report weird things in the sky. And they, you know, this is not something that was totally invented in the summer of 1947 by Kenneth Arnold in the Pacific Northwest. This is sort of something that humans have wondered about and struggled with for our entire existence. And to me, part of what makes this story so interesting is the way that it mixes spirituality and science. You know, that this question of are we alone is one of the two or three most profound questions of human existence. You know, right up there with is there a God and what happens to us after death? And I don't know that we will ever solve, you know, those latter two questions, but I am very optimistic that we will solve that first question of are we alone? You know, if humanity pursues it in, and we sort of give ourselves as a civilization the chance to live long enough to explore it.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old Richmond, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.